Hello and welcome to another episode of our Stories and Conversations on Mental Health. I'm your host, Matthew Modica, and in this episode, we're going to discuss mental health in the workplace. I will just go over some statistics and some reasons that it occurs and also ways that we can overcome it. And then obviously at the end, I will go over my final reflection and go over my experiences with mental health in the workplace. So if you are watching this on Spotify, we do have PowerPoint presentations on the YouTube channel. So feel free to come over to the YouTube channel and have a look. So without further ado, let's get into it. Mental health in the workplace. Is it approached with seriousness? Awareness around workplace mental health. In today's fast-paced world, the workplace is far more than just a hub for getting tasks done. It's where individuals dedicate a significant portion of their lives, confront obstacles, and often grapple with emotional struggles. Mental health is ever-changing, much like the weather. It can shift sometimes in small, gradual ways, and at other times more dramatically. A good day can take a sudden turn with an unexpected event or even a fleeting thought. What's more, it's intensely personal. Two people facing the exact same circumstances may experience them in completely different ways, influenced by their unique backgrounds, emotions, and perspectives. Each day, the average individual experiences tens of thousands of thoughts, many of which arise automatically and uninvited. When those thoughts are negative, and we begin to accept them as truth, they can snowball into something far more impactful, shaping our emotions, behaviors, and overall perception of the world. The causes of mental health issues in the workplace. Toxic leadership is a major contributor to workplace mental health challenges. Harmful behaviors such as micromanaging, bullying, or encouraging unhealthy competition can result in heightened stress, decreased productivity, and employees feeling reluctant to come to work. Excessive workload is another major contributor to workplace mental health issues. When employees are overwhelmed with tasks and unrealistic expectations, it can quickly lead to stress, exhaustion, and even burnout. The constant pressure to deliver more than is manageable can create feelings of inadequacy, frustration, and anxiety. Over time, this can diminish focus, productivity, and overall job satisfaction, while also impacting personal life and well-being. A demanding workload not only affects an individual's emotional resilience, but can also strain emotions within teams. As collaboration and morale take a hit, addressing excessive workload is essential for fostering a healthier, more sustainable work environment. Are You Okay Day. To those struggling with mental health in the workplace, Are You Okay Day can often come across as insincere. Checking in with colleagues shouldn't be reserved for just one day a year. It needs to be an everyday practice. The impact is diminished further when people only ask because their company mandates it. A sincere Are You Okay comes from genuine care, not obligation. If your organization chooses to take part in Are You Okay Day, do so with sincerity and meaningful intent, not just to enhance your company's image. How to improve mental health in the workplace. End the stigma around mental health. Mental health often remains a difficult and avoided subject in the workplace environments. However, the reality is that everyone faces challenges at some point. Encourage open and honest dialogue by checking in with your team, not just about their tasks, but about their well-being. Share your own experiences as well. When leaders show vulnerability, it isn't a sign of weakness. It's an actual act of humanity that fosters trust and strengthens connections. Provide genuine support, not empty promises. Simply stating we care about mental health falls short without actionable steps to back it up. Demonstrate real commitment by offering practical resources such as access to counseling, organizing wellness programs, or allowing flexible schedules for those facing personal challenges. These meaningful actions, though seemingly small, can have a significant and lasting impact. Recognize people, not just achievements. The focus is often placed on numbers, KPIs, and end results, overshadowing the individuals driving the work. It's time to change the narrative. Acknowledge and celebrate effort, progress, and resilience. Even celebrate birthdays. When people feel valued and recognized, they become more inspired, engaged, and connected to their work. Always lead with empathy. Empathy isn't just a soft skill. It's a powerful asset. Dedicate time to truly understand an employee's challenges and achievements. Practice active listening. Ask thoughtful questions. And above all, show that they're more than just employees. They're individuals who genuinely matter. Prevent burnout. Take action early. Burnout develops gradually, often creeping in unnoticed until it becomes overwhelming. Companies should stay alert to warning signs like exhaustion, mood swings, or lack of enthusiasm. When these indicators arise, it's crucial to intervene, rebalance responsibilities, promote taking breaks, and emphasize that rest is not a luxury. It's essential for sustaining performance and well-being. My final reflection. So workplace mental health, I hold closely to my chest. I worked for a company that, like I was saying in the presentation, Are You Okay Day, that celebrated Are You Okay Day, would send text messages to all workers asking if they're okay. And it was just like so insincere, it was pathetic. Especially when the person that was sending me it, the message was a person that was just giving me extra workload, that was treating me like crap, that wouldn't hear me out, that wouldn't listen to my complaints, wouldn't give me nothing. And this person was in a much higher role than myself, and it used to affect me pretty bad. I was crying outside, and workers would come in and, you know, literally hug me and say, dude, it's all right. Males and females would. They'll put their hands around me and say, dude, it's all good, you know, just keep battling through, they would say. They would tell me to complain to HR, and it's like, well, there's no point in complaining to HR, because I know that complaining to HR, nothing ever gets done, because I've seen it. As a manager in a company, I've seen people put in complaints, bigger than my just bullying and give me extra workload and making me stress, bigger complaints than that, and nothing happened. So I'm just like, what's the point of me complaining over something like this? Nothing's going to happen. But this company would celebrate Are You Okay Day. You know what I mean? So many people would put up complaints about bullying and get swept under the rug. Or the people that were doing the bullying would get transferred to another store. You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, is this for real? Is this for real? And I hate it. I hate companies that celebrate Are You Okay Day, Pride Month, all of this stuff, because they're really doing it to enhance the image of the company. I'm telling you, all these big companies that celebrate all of these special days, they don't do it because they want to do it. They do it because they care about their image, and that if they don't do it, if they don't celebrate this, if they don't celebrate that, then that company looks bad, that company looks against it, they get bad media, and then you know what I mean. So they do it just to pretend that they care. And you know, like when I was a manager, and I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but when I was a manager in one of these big companies, I used to become friends with the workers. We would hang out after work. They would come to my joint and we'd play board games. We would play video games. The males and the females would have some drinks. We'd party at my joint. And I built this close relationship with them. And I would always get told, Matt, you need to know where to draw the line between employee and friend. And I'm like, no, because when they're your friends, your workers feel like they're your friends. They feel like they're like a part of you, like a part of family. They will go further and beyond. You know what I mean? To give you the results. You know, I used to get put under pressure so bad with KPIs, really bad. And my workers would always say to each other, come on, let's get through this. Let's get it done for Matt. You know what I mean? And that's because I treated people like they were friends, like they were humans, not that they're irreplaceable. I hear managers all the time saying, oh, it's fine. If they don't like the job, they can piss off. We can find someone else. There's a lot of people out there wanting jobs. No, because your best workers are your workers that feel valued, right? You can keep looking for people and keep turning over workers. That ain't gonna do shit. It's not. Forgive my language, but I just get fired up with this stuff. Like, you've got to build relationships with them. You've got to be kind. You've got to, you know, treat them like they're friends. Don't treat them like a freaking just a number that you just grab, yep, done. And don't, like, I never got on their backs about their KPIs. I'd say, guys, you know, if you can hit your KPIs, that'd be great. Thank you. If you can't, I understand. I understand some days it's busy, some days it's not busy. I never got on people's backs that weren't hitting their targets, because it's like, well, listen, I understand it was a quiet day, but then there was other people out there were like, no, you didn't hit him. It's like, dude, no one walked through the door practically. Like, what do you want us to do? You know what I mean? Like, and I seen it with my own eyes, and it's just like, and I used to voice my opinion, like, and say, hey, it's pretty dead. No, that's not an excuse. And this was before I was manager. Oh, well, you know, you're all just making excuses that that's why you didn't hit your KPIs. And it's like, you only want us to hit our KPIs so that you get a bonus, right? You get a bonus. You look good. You won't go out there and say, oh, you know, it was because of my staff. Hell no. You know what I mean? That's how they are these in the corporate world. You know, and people that are in the corporate world watching this that are rich, and I doubt they would be watching this, but if they had money and they were rich, they'll be like, oh, you just got to harden up. You've got to, you know, take it. Mental health is just an excuse and this and that. People, listen, I'm sorry that where some people aren't as successful as you, and some people may not be as strong as you, but understand that mental health is real. I spoke about it a couple of podcasts ago. I spoke about it, about people dying from self-harm and how it leads over car deaths. It's the number one cause of death between ages of 15 and 44. Mental health isn't real, huh? Come on. And then on the other side of the coin, yeah, I have been accused of being an asshole, bullying, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to be honest with this. Like, there's always two sides to the story, right? There's your side, their side, and then the truth in the middle. Okay, so what happened with me, and I know people are going to be saying, why are you sharing with this? You're letting the world know. No, I'm letting the world know that people change, people grow, people become new people. You know what I mean? So I was at a company where I got a family member. Number one rule I learned, that saying, don't ever work with family, don't. So a family member came and they would just make a lot of mistakes. They would make a lot of mistakes, and it wasn't different mistakes. It was always the same mistakes over and over and over and over and over again, which then also caused me extra workload. I would have to do extra things. I wasn't able to do what I had to do, and then I would get pressure onto me because I'm not doing what I'm doing. So then I'm getting drilled by management because I'm not doing what I'm doing because I keep fixing someone else's problems. And then it got to a point where me asking nicely, I then, again, I'm working on this with a psychologist. It's about emotions. I've got to learn to control my emotions. I couldn't control my emotions anymore. And I was getting angry. And I started talking more aggressively. And that's because of all the frustration coming out. It was the wrong thing to do. I handled it wrong. I will say 50% of the situation was my fault. You know, owning up to things is what makes us grow. Now, on the other side, I'm guessing that person will say it's all my fault, but that's cool. I'll take half the blame. I'm always happy to take half the blame in situations because, like I said, there's always two sides of stories and there's always two reasons. My reason, I'll take 50% of the blame. And I'm learning from that. I'm growing from that. I've learned to deal with my emotions. After this person left, I was a lot better. I didn't have my, you know, eruption. You know, I wasn't rah, 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 but then my OCD started to kick in, so that kind of took over my anger. But yeah, so I guess you can say I've been on two sides of the coin, but again, you learn from things, you grow from things. I'm now understanding with people. I'm now as kind as I can be with people and accepting as much as I can. And if people are really, really, really struggling over and over and over again, I've learned now just to have the patience and just, if it's not your problem, then don't deal with it. Even though that situation was my problem, again, I should have just left it. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because I don't like to be a hypocrite. I feel like a hypocrite if I say, oh, I'm complaining about being bullied, and then, you know, I've had accusations against me. But only one, once in my life I've ever had it. And again, it was with a family member. So I'm guessing with family, we tend to, you know, go over that line, you know what I mean? But yeah, businesses, we really need to take mental health serious. We really need to understand workers. And if someone wants to call in sick for a mental health day, let them call in sick for a mental health day. Let them take an extra 10-minute break if they're feeling overwhelmed. That's what I used to do. I used to tell my guys, oh, man, is it all right if I go? Go, take an extra 10-minute break. Go. You guys, I always said to my workers, do whatever you guys want. I don't care. Only ask two things. When there's customers, you serve them. And when there's no customers, you're cleaning. If there's no customers and the store is clean, do what the hell you want. That's what I used to say. Like, go on a 10-minute break. As long as there's someone there to serve customers, go take an extra 10-minute break. You smoke, go take an extra smoke. Now, that's how it was. And you treat them like that and you let them, You know, because a lot of people say, oh, no, but you do that, you get too close with them, they walk over you. No, they don't. The closer you get, the harder they work. You know what I mean? Like I was saying before, like, if I said to guys, listen, guys, we need to hit these targets in the, you know, morning meetings, we need to hit these targets, this, this, that. I know it's a big ask. I know we're a bit behind. But, hey, just do your best. Whatever happens, happens. I'll take the fall if we don't achieve it. But if we do achieve it, I'm telling you, I'm telling everyone, it was all you guys. It wasn't me. It had nothing to do with me. I just asked the team to get the job done, and my team got the job done. That's how it used to be. And in the morning, it was like a football, you know, yes, let's go, let's go, let's get this. We can do this. Come on, everyone, let's go, let's go. And they'd go out there and bust their asses off, man. Go out there and bust their asses off for me. And I used to reward them. I used to buy them lollies nearly every day. I used to buy chips and chocolates, mainly an excuse for me to eat them, but no. I used to just go buy all these lollies and treats for them. Hey, go out back, eat 10 minutes with some lollies. I'll cover you guys on the floor. I'll sell. I don't have to, but I'll do it because, you know, you guys have been busting your ass off. And that's how it should be. Look after your workers, take care of your workers, and make sure you definitely take care of their mental health. And if they come to you, speak to them, be open, be honest with them. You know, I had a lot of workers come, speak to me, be honest with me. You know, I had one worker tell me that they were sexually harassed, you know, but I don't want to go into detail because it's worse than that. And, you know, I said, listen, every week I want you to come in here. We're just going to sit down, have a chat, and have to talk about bad things or hey, just come in and have a chat. You know, we'll just have a chat once a week for 20 minutes. And, you know, that person would open up a lot more and they felt more comfortable at work and they enjoyed their time at work. And that's how it should be. I don't know if it's just because people that have mental health issues, when they get into management, they understand. But I've seen a lot of managers that get into management and then they completely change and it's just completely wrong. But anyway, please, I beg you, in the business world, we've all got to learn from our mistakes. We've all got to grow together. We all got to help each other. Don't push each other to the absolute limit. Work together, achieve things together, and believe in each other and help each other. That is the most important thing that I believe makes a successful business. So thank you for watching. I appreciate taking the time. And I ask of you, please take care of each other. Please take care of yourself. And I'll see you soon with another podcast. See ya.